We're very glad that Armin is here tonight, and he's going to come just in a moment or two to bring the message. We can look back to the day when Armin was converted to Jesus Christ, and that was a very memorable day in his experience, and of course we rejoice with him when God in his mercy reached down and plucked him as a brand from the burning. And then his girlfriend Melanie, I think it was just 3 weeks later, she came to know the Saviour too, and that has become history now, for they are married and they have a burden to go to Australia. It is the intention of Armin to go to Bible college, but last missionary weekend in January, as George McConnell spoke about the need in Australia, Armin was greatly burdened. Sometime after that, as he was thinking about Australia, this burden was led into his heart by the Lord, and he made that known, and that entered into a process of coming to speak with the mission board and so on and so forth, until he was accepted to go to Australia for a period of a year to serve the Lord there in two of our vacant churches, in fact two of the little works there, and Armin will be going to take charge of both. He and Melanie will be travelling together, leaving on the 30th of this month, this coming Saturday. Things have moved very quickly for them. They applied for their visa. I'm not too sure exactly when, but they were expecting perhaps to go out in the autumn time, and then things dragged out a wee bit. I believe all in the providence of God. We didn't think they would be here for the opening of the church, but they were, and we didn't think they'd be here for Christmas, but they will be, and they will be leaving, as I said, on Saturday. And as they go there, I can't think of a better text to give to them than the one we gave to Noreen when she went to Kenya. It's a text that means so much to us as God's people. It's been a means of strength and encouragement to the believing church down through the centuries. And it's the words of Isaiah 41 and verse 10. We mentioned this last Thursday night at the prayer meeting. And I want just to quote the text, trusting that the Lord will make it a blessing to them and to their families as they take leave from us on Saturday. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. Why should we not fear? Well, the Lord tells us why. For I am with thee. And we're confident that the Lord will be with Armin and Melanie every step of the way, both in the journey that they have to take and also in the duration of the service that they render unto the Lord's name. And it says, be not dismayed, and the reason again is given, for I am thy God. Good to know that God is our God, and that we have that personal, intimate relationship with him. And then he promises to do three things, and he'll do this for Armin and for Melanie. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee. And we trust that the Lord will. And we're not saying cheerio to him tonight and forgetting about him for a year. The congregation will be praying for him and for his wife. And we look forward to hearing reports periodically how he's getting on and what the Lord is doing through him. We have a small presentation that we want to make to Armin tonight and to Melanie. So we're going to ask Melanie to walk the aisle and come up here just to join us in the pulpit, please. I'm sure she was looking forward to this. She didn't know about it, so she couldn't really be looking forward to it. Armin, arise, my brother. Miss ladies first. Just come over here. Everybody wants to see you tonight. We'll be asking both of them to go to the door at the end so that you can say farewell to them. And this is presented to our dear sister, Melanie Tomassian, on her departure for Australia by the congregation of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and the wee text that we've just quoted. Melanie, the Lord go with you and bless you. Bless you together in the work that you seek to do for the Lord's name. And Armin, we would like to give you this, very similar words, and only at the bottom of the study to show thyself approved unto God. And we trust that the Lord will help you to study for the work and for the preaching and for the ministry of God's word. God bless you, my brother. All right. Yeah, I just said it there.
He's going to bring the message tonight. Pray for him as he comes, that the Lord will be with him, and pray for him when he leaves the congregation here and goes to Australia. Don't forget about him. Keep him upon your heart and remember him as often as you can.
Could you turn, please, to Luke chapter 1? I wasn't expecting that at all. And all I can say is a sincere thank you. Could you all do me a favour? I don't like to cry too much. On occasion I do, but could you please, later on or whenever, please just say, I'll see you later. Don't say goodbye. That's a nasty, nasty word at the minute. Anyway, I'm trying to keep thinking along positive thoughts. Emotions can sometimes get the better of you. I gave a quite long-winded word of thanks the last time, about 2 months ago, when we were in the hall. Must be even longer than that ago. I just want to say a very brief word of thanks just to those who have been praying for us, and to those who will be praying for us, to those who have given various words of encouragement and have given various cards to show that encouragement with gifts and everything else. I tell you, it means more to me than a kingdom. The love and the prayers of God's people mean more to me, and no doubt to Melanie, than a kingdom or anything else you give us. And we mean that. As we go away, again, I just would ask you, please do pray for those two things that I mentioned, that God would keep us faithful and he would anoint us with the Spirit. We have cards, just very small cards that we got printed out, just giving our email addresses and the prayer points, just the 2 or 3 prayer points that we have on those cards. They're on the table outside. Those of you who are God's people that want to pray, you can take that just as a wee reminder. And I would love to hear from you, a wee email now and again. I better make sure I don't say that word "we" when I go to Australia. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I also, I'll make mention of this to those who are computer literate and are on the net and all the rest. I set up a blog, right? Some of you will know what that is. That's the URL is armansblog.com. And I'm going to just try and let everybody know that's here and looks that up. Just basically how we're getting on, how we're adapting to Australian lifestyle and all the rest. And I'll just have pictures and maybe short video clips and whatever. Just to try and relate, rather than trying to say it all at one time in one email. Just wee things. And if you would like, I don't know whether you'd like to or not, to kind of sort of go along with us in this adventure with the Lord, then you can tune in there. And hopefully it will all be an encouragement to you about what God's doing for us. I'll try and keep it short. I'll return, as I said, to Luke chapter 1. At this time of year, sometimes men like to turn our attention to the 3 wise men. Now, those of us who know our Bibles will know that the Bible nowhere records that there were 3 wise men. There could have been 10 wise men, maybe 5 wise men, maybe more, maybe less. I have no idea. But there were wise men. We also have no idea whether there were 3 gifts. We know there were 3 types of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there could have been more than that. We have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. As I was thinking about this message, and I knew I'd have to try and keep it seasonal, and with time against us, and looking through and thinking about the other Christmas messages that I have brought, some of you that are here have heard them, so I thought I need to bring something fresh, something new. So rather than speak on the wise men, I'm going to speak on the three wise women. I know they're not my mother, my mother-in-law, and Melanie. They are found in the Bible. And we find them here in this book, in the Gospel according to Luke. Before we read, I'd ask you if you bow in a word of prayer. Just unite our hearts around the throne of grace. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee above everyone and everything else for Thy mercy and Thy goodness. We thank Thee, Father, for how we are always in Thy thoughts, even though sometimes we fail to have Thee in ours. We thank Thee, our God, for that time in our experience, our life, when You saved us by Your sovereign free grace. And we can look back on almost 5 years of Your goodness and Your mercy. For all that Thou hast done for us, we'll never cease to praise Thee. As we come to Your word now, Lord, we just ask Thee from the depths of our hearts sincerely that You'll give us help, that You'll undertake for us. Cleanse every child of God here in the precious blood. Anoint us with Thy Spirit to preach and to hear, and especially that You'd speak to the ungodly. Oh Lord, bind the strong man. Make sinners in this meeting see Christ as their Redeemer. Do this for Jesus' sake and for Thy eternal praise. Amen. The thought crossed my mind as I was coming out tonight that if I preach really badly, maybe they'll take more pity on me and pray even more for me. I trust they'll not preach badly. I trust that we'll get through it all right. And that in spite of what way I preach, you will pray for us. But we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 39. I was going to just read a few short verses just to summarise. But that, what the Dr. Castle said once when he was taking the Bible conference, he said, some men think that they have wiser things to say than God when they preach, when just maybe quoting one verse or one text. And I was rebuked by that. And I'll turn and read a good passage of God's word. Luke chapter 1, reading from the verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Then over to Luke, in the chapter 2, in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. As I said, I want to speak about the three wise women. And no doubt you have noted them as we have read there. Firstly, Elizabeth, then Mary, and then Anna. When we consider the words of Elizabeth concerning Mary, sometimes our minds are focused entirely and only upon those words where it says there that she would be blessed among women. Because of certain religions, certain people in this world, our minds are constantly focused upon this part of this passage where Mary is blessed among women. And sadly, certain religions have so distorted this account of Mary that whenever we consider Mary, we only think of her in that light that they have her. We forget that she was just a normal child of God. And we sometimes shun away from speaking about her because we are scared that we might fall into the trap of exalting her the way some would, trying to make her out as some sinless advocate for man. That she is there in the glory as another mediator, as co-redemptrix for mankind, when she's nothing of the sort. So sad that men would seek to distort the account of the scriptures to make us shun away from this who she can be described as a princess among the children of God. She was indeed blessed among women. There's no doubt about that. That God would be pleased to use her as the instrument to bring the Son of God into this earth. There's no doubt, no question, that she's been blessed and was blessed of all women. But what struck Elizabeth most of all, I believe, was when you read on down in the verse 43, where it says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The mother of my Lord should come to me. Here we have the voice of recognition. Elizabeth recognized that this was no ordinary child within Mary. She recognized that it was indeed the Son of God himself. My Lord! It's a wonder. Made me stop in amazement as I considered how did she recognize this truth? And all I could think about was because of the promise that was given to Zacharias about their son, John the Baptist, and how he would be the forerunner for the Most High. This must have gave her some insight. She must have realized that indeed the Messiah was going to come and literally be upon the earth. Now we must remember that the Bible doesn't give any record that Mary told her about the angelic visit. It doesn't record that she was told about how the angel had visited Mary or Joseph. She had no idea. And yet she understood that the child within Mary was indeed the Son of God. It's marvellous. And even more wonderful when you consider that this was the wife of a Jewish priest. It's marvellous because when you think, put yourself in the position, you understand Jewish minds, the way they think, how they think about Jehovah. They would never, ever call anyone else by the title My Lord. They would never give credit to any other being, no matter who they were, being called My Lord. But this devout Jewess had all confidence that the babe within Mary was indeed her Lord. Absolutely remarkable. To think that she would be able to boast in this too. And note, this is the voice of recognition. This is the voice of someone who has had God visit them. Scripture accounts gives the account that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's no doubt that she was, for no one could have such divine insight unless they were filled with the Spirit like she was. She recognized, unlike some of you tonight, unlike some who come here week after week, and you come and you sit amongst us, and you sing the hymns and the songs, and you walk out again and never think to yourself that the one you're denying week in and week out is indeed the Son of God. God manifest in human flesh. Secondly, we have Mary. And this is the voice of rejoicing. As it says there in chapter 1 of Luke, in the verse 46, the Word of God says, and it came to pass, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, from generation to generation." And she goes on. And the Bible records this song of praise, this song of rejoicing. And again, we tell you that there is nowhere here where Mary tried to exalt herself in any state or form. There's nowhere there for anyone to get the idea that Mary saw herself as different from anyone else. Rather, you get the opposite. You realize that there's someone there who in deep humility recognizes that they've received divine favor. Not divine favor to make them any different than anyone else. That they're going to have a higher place in the glory. Just someone who for some reason in the sovereignty of God got favor with the Lord. And she rejoices in it. She rejoices in the goodness and mercy of God. Rejoices in the fact that God was pleased to use her in such a way. And she sang about his sovereignty. As you read down, you can see that. And she sang about his salvation. She sang about the salvation that was only going to come from God. You see, if Mary was, in fact, sinless, as some would like us to believe, she wouldn't need God as a Savior. But she rejoiced in God, her Savior. But in verse 49, it says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Is that not the way every child of God really thinks? At least it ought to be how we all feel. We ought to be able to say like Mary, that he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. I can say it. I've said it on numerous occasions. When I get before the Lord sometimes, I just weep. I just weep because the goodness and mercy of God. Dear child of God, do you weep at the goodness and mercy of God? Or have you forgotten the pit from whence you've been dug? Have you forgotten your rebellion? Have you forgotten your sin? Have you forgotten how you turned your back on God time and time again? How you failed him? No, we can learn from Mary that God has done great things for us. Within Mary was the Son of God indeed. But in the spiritual sense, it's the same for every child of God. In Galatians 4 and 19, Paul speaks to new converts saying about Christ being formed in you. Christ being formed in you. And in a spiritual sense, we're the same as Mary. When God is trying to develop the life of Christ within every one of us. He's trying to give us help and grace that day by day we'll be conformed more and more to the image of His Son. And I wonder, is it being seen within our lives? I wonder, is the world out there seeing that Christians here in Balmoney Free Presbyterian Church are becoming more and more like Christ, the one they claim to follow, the one they claim to love, the one they take such a firm stand to defend and to witness for? Are they seeing it in our lives? That's what God's desire is for every one of us. That Christ will be formed in us in a spiritual sense, just like Mary. That we would be holy and harmless. Not that we can achieve the sinless perfection. Paul urges us to be blameless. Maybe those who blame can't be put upon, the finger can't be pointed, or those who walk close with the Lord. I trust that as we go to Australia, that we'll become more and more like Christ. And it is those of you who are here and remain here, your testimony will grow in that respect more than anything else. More than the name of the church. More than the preaching of the pastor. More than the leadership of those who are appointed over the church. That the testimony will grow that we are becoming more like Jesus. Because that's what God wants for us. And that Christ be formed in us. And thirdly and finally, we have Anna. And in verse 38, she gives the voice of redemption. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, she didn't only recognize that the child was the Son of God. She didn't only recognize that babe was God in union with man. 100% God, 100% man, coming in union. She recognized that person was the Redeemer. And men and women round about Jerusalem that were looking for the coming Messiah, that were looking for the one who would come and bring redemption, she was able to point and say, "This is the one. This is the long-awaited for Messiah. This is the one that's going to come and bring redemption." She recognized more than them all, possibly. And dear sinner, you need to recognize that tonight. It's not enough for you to know the doctrines of the Word of God, teaching the incarnation, teaching the union of God and man found in Christ. It's not enough to have a head knowledge of these things. You need to have a heart knowledge. Be able to say like Elizabeth, "My Lord." Be able to say like Mary, "My Savior." Be able to say like Anna, "My Redeemer." I wonder, can you? There are some of you, and we sit in bewilderment at times. Week after week, you don't seem to understand, you don't seem to get it, that without Christ, you'll perish. You don't seem to understand even as much as Cain understood, that his punishment was greater than he could bear. Oh, the wrath of God upon sin, I tell you, it'll be 100 times greater than the wrath that was poured upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The wrath of God as it falls upon sin. The adultery, the fornication, the lies, the denial of Christ, and all the sins down through the years in your life. And yet you somehow think that you can reject Him and get away with it. Your ways are past finding out. They're inconceivable. I trust that something tonight will make a difference. That you, like me, on the 13th of May 2002, forget about your friends. Forget about your girlfriend or boyfriend. Forget about those who might laugh or scoff. And get yourself to Christ. That's what you need to do. It's not something you can choose to forget or neglect. It's an imperative. It's a necessity. You need to come to Christ. And you need to do it now. God, Almighty God, the one who has permitted you life to this very moment, says now is the accepted day. Now is the day of salvation. But oh no. You sit there smugly, confidently boasting to yourself some other day. God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. Tomorrow we'll exchange gifts with our loved ones. We'll give thanks. I wonder, are you neglecting what has often been termed the greatest gift of all? You know the verse, but I'll quote it again. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, beyond all doubt, everlasting life. May you be saved tonight, for Jesus' sake.